Blog Talk Radio.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Men against destruction, cause you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto ain't expressing nothing less. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Man, that's how you feel. On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the jungle fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I seen was knocking blue. Soldiers showing love.
Good afternoon, good afternoon. This is February 14th. I'd like to thank everyone for listening to Blog Talk Radio. Our active chapters, we'd like to thank you, Florida, Iowa, Buffalo, New York, Pittsburgh, Nebraska, Lincoln, and Omaha, Dallas, Texas, and, of course, Minneapolis Mad Dad's headquarters. Our subject for today is famous Americans in Minnesota. If you would like to call in, please call in to 347-215-9262. And we do have a caller online, 0271. You're on the line.
That's right. That's right. Not only do you have a caller on the line, but you have the national president of Mad Dads all across the country. Big thank you to Joanne. She tried to cancel my show. She tried, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm here to tell you. I made the call, and I thank you so much, Joanne. Salute to Joanne. She's seven people in one body. Seven people, Roanne, Joanne, Toanne, Loman, Keanne, all of them. Thank you, Joanne. I really appreciate you.
You're welcome.
You know, hey, I'm telling you something right now. I am at Cheesecake with hundreds and hundreds of kids. I'm a chaperone today, and you talk about Black history. Oh, my God, I'm creating some Black history now. I ate lunch with the kids. I sit in the classroom with the kids. We had a great time. And I just want to tell parents, be a chaperone. Be involved in your kids' life. Be a part of your children. There's nothing like being a part of the kids as they grow up. You should see my grandbaby's eyes light up, her heart light up. She is so happy and so excited that I am here with her. And, if you know, I took some time off, and I want to thank Joanne for clearing up my schedule. There was a lot of stuff that I was supposed to do today. But there's nothing more important than being there for these children. And I am noticing now these teachers really have a big, big task ahead of them. There are so many kids that have issues that go to school and bring that stuff to school. We had a chance to let the kids take open mic. This teacher is so wonderful. She's a beautiful teacher. She actually steps around and lets people say, what's on your mind? What are you struggling with? And to listen to some of the kids and the things that they're struggling with was truly amazing. I never had a teacher ask me that when I was going to school or let me share what I was feeling. One kid said, I was bad. I started the car. He's only 10 years old. He said, I started the car, and I just did it to see what my uncle would do. He said, my uncle's eyes got so big when he see me behind the wheel and start the car. And I looked at him and waved like I was going to drive off, and he started screaming, stop, stop. And it was so funny to hear this young kid talk about that, because I think I would do the same thing. If my kids did that to me, oh, my God. And it was just funny. People were sharing all kinds of stuff. I don't know, Joanne, did that teacher let you share in school like that?
No. They
and
really asked how teachers, we were.
You know, and I think it's important. I think it's important, you know, because we have to get involved in kids' lives. And they have to – we can't get involved. And man, I know that I got a lot of business to take care of. I got a lot of stuff to do. My phone's been blowing up. I've been trying to do as much work as I can from the phone. But I wouldn't give up this day for anything in the world. I'm going to work double, triple, quadruple hard when I get back to work tomorrow. I'm sure, Joanne, you'll have me going from appointment to appointment nonstop like you did yesterday. Oh, my God. Did you put me to work yesterday? Talk about Black history. I had a chance to go to the Black History Museum in Washington, D.C., and it really turned my life around. It really changed me and really motivated me to be a part of history. Joanne, I know you got some things to talk about. I'm going to piggyback with you. Just keep me on the line. I'll put my phone on mute, but I'll stay with you, and I'll come back on and talk when I need to. But give me a tidbit about Black history that you have.
Okay. I have Reverend Robert Thomas Hickman. He was born into slavery in 1831. He led fellow slaves on the harrowing river journey to freedom in 1863. He was originally Pilgrim Baptist Church in St. Paul. It was two white ministers led the church until 1877, which Hickman became the congressional official minister in 1878. He wound up dying in February 6th in 1900. The church that we're talking about is actually located 732 West Central Avenue. And you can still see the church is still standing.
Wow, that's amazing. That is really amazing. That's Black history there. You know, when it comes to our history, we just found out that we had a lot of officials in politics, but they hid. They didn't talk about it anymore. But they were officials in politics in the early 1600s and early 1700s. They're officials in politics. I've got a young man here, and I want him to talk about how much fun he's having. Tell everybody on Blog Talk Radio how much fun you're having.
A nice time.
He's having a nice time. Oh, we're having a great time, out of Jordan. Jordan, do you know how to roller skate?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, good. I'd love to see you out here falling down with some of these kids, because, you know, one thing they know how to do is fall down hard and fall down quick, but they're doing a good job. In Black history, in the history of our community, in the history of our nation, if we don't teach it, we're going to have some big problems doing it. And I feel like it's up to us to make sure our kids and everyone else understand about our history. Who else you got in the studio with you there, Joanne?
I have Mr. Larry.
Oh, my God.
How you doing,
VJ? Oh, my God. Hey, Joanne, you didn't tell me that you had Mr. History himself. Y'all know that boy's a walking encyclopedia. Did y'all know that? I don't know. I just wanted my audience to know. Larry, how dare you sit there and not give us the history? Come on, Larry. Tell us some stuff. I want to hear Larry. Go ahead, Larry. Talk to us.
How you doing, VJ?
I'm doing great, man.
How you doing today,
VJ? Give us some of that wisdom about Black history.
Well, as you know, I'm from Alabama, but we won't talk about Alabama today. We're going to stay in Minnesota with you, and we're going to talk to you about Miss Lena Smith. I know her as the first African-American female attorney, also a real estate agent, no pun intended. Her interest in housing led to a landmark court case for a Black family buying a home in South Minneapolis. She was the first Black woman to practice law in Minnesota. One of six children moved here to the state in the early 20s from Kansas with the rest of her family in 1906. That's Lena Smith, first Black female attorney in Minnesota.
And she helped found the Urban League branch in Minneapolis in 1925. She was the first female president of the local chapter NAACP in 1935.
Wow.
She is still an active attorney when she died at the age of 81 in 1966.
That is some history right there. Larry,
yep.
Larry, Joanne, thank you so much for that history. Let me just ask both of you this question, and I'm going to sit back and listen, and I'll put my thing on mute because it's so noisy up here. But why are the oppressors trying so hard to hide our history? I'll let you talk.
In my opinion, I think they're hiding our history because they don't want us to know. And if you notice, generation by generation, we keep losing our history. Our grandparents are not around to actually keep on passing on that history, and the people that's in their 40s and 50s are not passing on that legacy either. So it's up to us to actually remember what February is about and try to give a new detail about history that we do not know, and not the normal Carter G. Woodson and the normal Muhammad Ali's. We need to know the people that's behind those people. There were people that started this thing, these things first. So we need to find out the real history. And that's what every time we have Black History on Blog Talk Radio, that's why I try to find the people that we don't know about, people I've never heard of, and I'm in my 40s. Ms. Larry?
Also, on that same note, I seem to find that people believe that when we know very little about ourselves, or the less we know about ourselves, the easier it is for the opponents to defeat us. We are not able to put up any type of united front when we don't know very much about ourselves. We don't have some kind of common ground to unite and to come from. Therefore, it becomes simpler for those that are in power to stay in power, because the more or the less that we know about our history, the less likely it is for us to try to challenge for more of that power that should be ours in the first place.
And we do have the first Black Minnesotan lawyer, Frederick McGee.
Wow.
He has paved the way for other legal pioneers, such as Alan Page and Wilhelmina Wright.
Wow, that's some awesome work. And, you know, Joanne, I know you did a little research, and you did some research, and you came up with some stuff for us. I really do appreciate it. One of the other questions I have for you is that if they hide this history and go into the Black Museum in Washington, D.C., there was so much stuff that I don't think I would ever see unless I went there. And by going there, I was able to see that is a powerful, powerful building to have all that history in one place. And I recommend everybody and anybody to please go and check it out. Now, with that said, the next question I have for you is, what do you tell parents, what do you tell educators when it comes to Black history, since some of it's so hidden? How do we motivate them to make sure that we get that history out to our children? Go ahead.
One of the ways you can do it is, like, I did this last week. I asked somebody, I said, just tell me one good African-American that you know that's in our history. So they brought up a name, and it was a normal name like Muhammad Ali. Well, they knew about him being a boxer. I said, well, okay, since you want to go there, find out or Google who is the first African-American boxer. I said, because what you fail to realize is you know the name for 2016 or 2017 people, but there's people back in the 1800s or the early 1900s that had to do this first. So Muhammad Ali wasn't the first one. So find out your history, find out who was the first one. And that's what they did. They came back and told me who was the first boxer. Don't ask my name right now because I don't remember it. But we have to find out. People have started it. They're the ones that's actually in the history books that we don't know anymore. So that's what we have to start listening to and reading up on to find out. This person wasn't the first person. We have to find out who was the first person that crossed that picket line, who got the water thrown at them, who got kicked out of the schools because of the color they were. We have to find out. We don't just take people's word for it. And that's why I like the movie Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. It tells a lot about African-American history that we do not know. And, again, that's Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. There's three different discs of Hidden Colors.
Elaine, you want to add to that?
Well, I'm sitting here shaking because I don't even know about Hidden Colors. So when you're gone, I'm going to have to talk to her about
that. I'll bring it.
I'm going to have to talk to her about that. But pretty much like I answered the first time with my first spiel when I was saying that we have to encourage teachers, educators, to enliven the minds of our children, because if we aren't able to tell them about themselves, about their history, we can't count on the people that are out there hiding these messages, as you so well put it, to do this for us. So that leaves us in a catch-22 when we're not able to do it ourselves. So we've really got to push them, encourage them, do whatever we need to do to let them know that Black history is as much a part of history as mainstream history.
Absolutely. I agree with that. You know, and it's up to us. It's up to us as community members. It's up to us as leaders. And it's up to us as parents to really make sure that our children, and, you know, you'd be amazed at what adults don't even know. Some of our adults don't even know their history. When we tell people that there was a Black man that invented hockey in Minnesota, people go, get out of here. We tell people that it was a Black man that invented the snowmobile in Minnesota, people say, get out of here. When we share that kind of history, because it's not being repeated, I'll tell you this, and I guarantee you this, if every product, the broom, the mop, the stoplight, the telephone, everything that was invented by African Americans, we just had a dollar for every product that got sold, our foundation, the African American Inventors Foundation, would be rich with billions and billions and billions of dollars. We wouldn't have to struggle like we do now if we could just get the cotton gin, the refrigerator. Every time somebody bought any of those products, if just $1 would go to the African American Foundation, we would be set.
You got that right.
If we could go to those,
you got that
if we
right.
could go to those companies. If we could go to those companies and just say, you know what, we invented this, and, you know, I'll tell you one thing, we don't really want you to give us credit. Just give us a dollar from each product you sell to the African American Foundation. If we could get folks to do that, if we could get them to say, give us just part of the proceeds and profit that you make off the land that you took from us. See, many of us don't understand that many of us, even including myself, Larry, and Joanne, we have land somewhere. We didn't get it. It didn't get passed down to us. Our ancestors came down, and by the slaves being slaves, we were given some land. We were given some acres. We don't have that land anymore. We don't have access to that land. We're not able to use that land. You know, I just want to say big ups. Now, here's my grandbaby. She's going to talk about how she's doing here, and she's going to talk a little bit about how fun, much fun she's having. Sarai, you on the radio. Talk to everybody.
Okay. All right.
I'm having, like, a lot of fun, and I just love skating. And it's just wonderful, and I just love skating. my grandpa is chaperoning for our field trip, so we're having so much fun. And we're gonna do the DJ shuffle, and right now, so I better get to it.
As you can see, she's excited. She's excited. Joanne, I know you wish you was out here because you're a big baby. You know that, and we would just let you be one.
Yeah.
But we'll catch you. We'll catch you next time. We'll get you next time. What I wanted to go back to is that I was sad. I'm gonna tell you what I was sad about when I went to the African American History Museum. There's a busload of Black kids that get off the bus, and they got off and they looked at the historical stuff and they said, "This is all old stuff. I don't want nothing to do with this. This is old
stuff.
This is nothing. This ain't about nothing. I want to get out of here. I want to leave. I want to go." And I felt, man, it hit my heart. It hit my heart because they fought so hard and so long to get an African American museum. And when they got it, here are these kids that don't even know how hard it was to to get the funding to get it. Oprah Winfrey gave $30 million of her own money. You know, and it was just a tough thing to make it happen. And it hit my heart so bad. But that's something, that was his parents that didn't teach him about African history. His parents didn't talk to him and say, boy, we come from something. See, when our kids look at stuff that is great and look at it like it's nothing, our parents are to blame. And when kids don't care about education, and when they don't care about science and technology, and when they don't care about, and Larry, I'll tell you one person to know how important it is to own stuff, how important it is to have ownership, how important it is to own your land, to own your car, to own your home. That's important stuff. And we got folks that think Section 8 is golden. If I got Section 8, baby, I'm doing something. I'll pay $25 a year. That is not wealth. That is not prosperity. And you will never, ever have it. Section 8, food stamps, EBT, you're never going to be wealthy. At some point, you got to step beyond your food stamps, step beyond your Section 8, step into your greatness.
That's right.
Can't say it any better than that.
Joanne, do you have any other history that you want to talk about? I've got a teacher here. I've got another teacher here. You're a teacher? I got a teacher, and I just want her to say hello from Blog Talk Radio Nation, talking all over the nation. And we're out here at Great Skates, and this is a teacher. I just want to talk about what she thinks about teaching and school and education.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
How do you feel about education?
Let's tell me who you are.
How do I feel about education? I love working in education. It's such a rewarding experience, and to help the kids learn each and every day is my passion. So
good, good. Well, we're glad you're out there helping the kids today.
Yeah, we're having a lot of fun out here.
All right, I'm going to ask her one question. I'm going to let her go, okay? I just want to ask her about Black history and what is one of the most things that intrigue you about Black History Month?
All right. Black History Month is such a fun and exciting month. We've got a whole wall at our school that looks amazing, that's dedicated to icons in Black history. Martin Luther King Day, all kinds of fun things. I love teaching and learning all about those things with the kids.
Thank you very much.
Good, good.
Miss Jacobs, that was Miss Jacobs. Joanne, we have Miss Jacobs on the line. She's got 100 kids out here, man, that she's dealing with. And, Soraya's teacher is over here. Now, I don't know if she's going to talk. I've been trying to get her to talk. She says she's a little shy. She was going to think about it, and so she's here. I don't know if she's going to talk, but she is a wonderful teacher. Are you ready now? Miss Jacobs just got the job. She's going skating. She's not going to talk. But anyway, she's a great teacher. She is a wonderful lady. She's doing a great job with these kids, and I just want you to know that we're making history out here right now. I think they're doing the what's that song doing? Can you hear it in the background? One Step, One Time, Jump. What's that song? What's it called, Joanne?
Salt and Pepper.
Yeah, they're doing the they're doing that. That's what they're doing.
Salt
I got
pepper
a question
jump.
For you and yeah, the shuffle, the Cuban shuffle. I got a question for you and Larry, and with the next generation of kids coming up and the misinformation about history, do you think that our kids are in more trouble than ever before, or can we save this next generation?
In my opinion, I think they're in trouble because some generations used to listen, and these generations now, they're really not listening. They're trying to go off of what they think they know and as opposed to what people in history have been through already. So if we can stop you from making the same mistakes that we've made, then we'll stop you. But the kids nowadays, they just want to go off of what they hear or what the streets are telling them, and that's not the correct thing to do. So you might want to follow behind somebody who already made that error or made that mistake and learn from their lesson and try to see, let's not do that again. What do you think, Mr. Larry?
Well,
Yep, I think they're, I will agree that they're in trouble, but because we have trailblazers like you, VJ, and other people, other organizations that are beating the pavement to make sure that the kids of this generation that are raising kids have some help in doing that with talk shows like this, organizations like that, stuff like that. So, yes, they're in trouble, but we've got some trailblazers like you, hopefully some others, parents, other activists that will join that fight, and hopefully we'll be able to say at some point in the future that this is turning around to the point there's more of us that are aware of their history and of their selves and of their ancestry than ever before.
Well, I like that. That's wonderful. And that's exactly what we have to do. I know we got 5 minutes left, Joanne.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Guess what I just found on the internet?
What'd you say?
Guess who I just found on the internet? James.
What's that?
Cornbread Harris Sr.
Wow.
I'm like, wow. I know who that is.
Yeah, he's amazing. That's
Mr.
Jimmy
Harris
Jam's father.
He performed at the first Minnesotan rock and roll record with Augie Garcia in 1955. He is the father of Jimmy Jam, the former member of Time and producer for pop icon Janet Jackson, his partner Terry Lewis.
Wow.
And Mr. Cornbread actually performs at our senior pride event every year in August.
Yes, he does. You know, we got to recognize him. Matter of fact, why don't we do this? Next year, Marcus, why don't we give him an award for that ourselves at Senior Pride Day?
Okay.
Let's do that.
Okay.
I just want to say this, and then if you're listening to the show, remember to do this. Every day should be Black History Day for you. Every year should be Black History Year. And all your life you should be promoting and living Black history. Don't let anybody tell you anything else. You do it and you live it like that. God is so amazing. He's so good. He gives us so much to be thankful for. I'm so thankful that I've got great staff like Joanne and others to help make this mission of Mad Dads all across the country what it's got to be. We're not done yet. The world is ours, and we're going to take control of it. To our president, Donald Trump, we're gonna do everything we can in our power to make this country a better place. I just hope that you're sincere with us and doing all the things that we need to do. To our former president, Mr. Obama, and Michelle Obama, thank you so much for 8 years of greatness, 8 years of struggle, but 8 years of loving you. And I just want to say to all the Mad Dads all across the country, continue to keep on keeping on, because, you know, Mad Dads love you, and nothing you can do about it but love us back. Say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We'll talk to you later. I'm out of here. I love you.
Hold on. Everybody want to say goodbye to you. Bye, VJ. It's Michaela. Bye from Mad Dads.
Bye, VJ. Thanks for having me on the show, man.
I would like to say thank you to all of our active chapters, Florida, Iowa, Buffalo, New York, Pittsburgh, Nebraska, Lincoln, and Omaha, Dallas, Texas, and, of course, Minneapolis headquarters. My name is Joanne. Please call us back next week at Blog Talk Radio at 347-215-9262.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Men against destruction, cause you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto ain't expressing nothing less. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Mad Dads, how you feel? On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the struggle fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I seen was black and blue. Soldiers showing love on the... M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Men against destruction, cause you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto ain't expressing nothing less. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Mad Dads.
how you feel. All the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the struggle fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I seen was black and blue. Soldiers showing love on the